Well, amen. Turn in your Bible with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2. My name is Jody Sledge. I'm one of the pastors here at Christ Fellowship, and it's my joy to be preaching today. I'm thankful for Lance last week filling in kind of last minute while I was sick. Thankful for that brother and the message that he was able to give to us last week as we celebrated Covenant Sunday. I texted a few people and said, I have severe FOMO when I have to miss church, you know, fear of missing out. So I know that you guys had a great time while I was home, not feeling well. But I'm thankful also, too, that, you know, we preach these sermons, and it's in a lot of ways really hard, and it takes a lot of hard work. But also, in a lot of ways, I'm just really thankful that at a day's notice, Lance is like, well, here's God's word, and here's what it says to us, and here's how we can apply that to our lives. And really, that's what we're after each and every week as we gather together as God's people. We're just opening God's word, hearing him speak to us, and then we're going to learn from him and receive that and see how we can apply it to our lives. So we're in this series called Jesus is Better, walking through the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 2 today, starting in verse 14. I'm going to go through the end of the chapter, verse 18. So let's do what I just said. We're going to hear God speak to us from his word. We're going to talk about it, think about it, and see how that applies to our lives. So let's hear from the Lord now. This is God's word, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it's not angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that you have spoken to us through this letter that was written so many years ago. God, we're thankful that it's been teaching us about who Jesus is and why he came and what that means for us and why he is better. And so, God, as we look to these verses today, would you just show us how amazing it is that the God of heaven would leave heaven and become like us in every way, to destroy death and to be our faithful high priest to help us when we are tempted, God. We're thankful for your word. Would you speak to us? Would you impress upon our hearts and our lives these truths, God, so that we might love Jesus more and obey him more and trust and cling to him more and more. God, would you speak to us for our good and for your glory? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you remember the show Undercover Boss? Anybody ever watch that show? It's a TV show where they would have like the CEO, the highest person in the company, would pretend to be a new employee of like some of the lowest jobs in their company. You've got like the owner of all of these restaurants who's back in the kitchen like washing dishes. You've got the president of a waste management company out there riding on the truck picking up trash. Or you've got like the CEO of a Fortune 500 company there washing the toilets. So sometimes it was funny to see these CEOs like try to do the actual jobs that their company was doing. Sometimes they were great at those jobs because they had built the company from ground up. And oftentimes people are watching this show and just thinking, really? How could they pull this off? How could the CEO just pretend to be a new employee and just be a normal person? How would that even work? Well, it worked because it was almost unbelievable that the highest person in the company would be working such a low job. They couldn't believe that the boss would become just like them. You know, I think if we were honest, we would say that there are times when the gospel message just seems unbelievable. I mean, to think that the Almighty Creator would come down to us is unbelievable. It's crazy to think that the High King of Heaven would humble himself and make himself just like us. It's almost unbelievable to think that Jesus would become human. Now, of course, as Christians, we know that these things to be true, but aren't there times when it's really hard to believe that? It's hard to believe that God knows the fears that we have. It's hard to believe that God knows the pain of suffering that we face. It's hard to believe that God would know what it is to feel temptation. But you see, we've come to God's word here in Hebrews 2, and we see that God did in fact become just like us. The God of heaven humbled himself and became one of us. He became like us to deliver us from death. He became like us to be our faithful and merciful high priest. He became one of us so that he could help us. And so my goal for us today is to believe that Jesus really did become like us in every single way. And because he is one of us, he can help us. I'm praying that God would help us to see that Jesus is exactly who we need him to be. No matter what we face in life, the pain or the sorrow or the uncertainty, no matter what, he's worth trusting. He's worth clinging to. He's worth never giving up. So let's see from our text why it actually matters that he became like us. Notice first that he became like us to deliver us from death. Why did he become like us? To deliver us from death. Our text begins with the first reason. Look at verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself, this is talking about Jesus, likewise partook of the same things. Flesh and blood is a reference to our human bodies. We've all got one, right? But the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus, who is the very nature of God, he came and he took on human flesh and bone. Remember those amazing statements about Jesus in chapter 1, that he's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. Well, if chapter 1 is a celebration that Jesus is God, chapter 2 is a celebration that in Jesus God became man. He himself partook, he shared, he took on the same things. And why? Look at the rest of the verse. That through his own death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil. You see, Jesus is the only human who was born for the purpose of him one day dying. The fact that we die is a sad reality. Jesus was sent to be human so that he would die, that through death, he would destroy the power of death. Look at verse 15. He says, and deliver all of those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. So notice in those two verses, two things that Jesus does for us. First, his death destroys the devil. The devil is described here as the one who has the power of death. What does that mean? What power of death does the devil hold over us? Is he the one that decides when we die and how we die? What's he talking about? Well, the word devil means accuser. You see, the only power that the devil has over death is that he has the power to accuse us of our sin. Because of our sin, we deserve death. And you see, he holds that power because he's right. We are sinners who deserve death. But listen, Jesus comes and he dies in our place. Through death, he might destroy the one who has the power of death. He takes away all of our condemnation, all of the punishment that we have, And so now he has destroyed that work. So listen, Satan could stand before God today. He could accuse me. He could say, look at Jody. Look at the terrible things he's done in his life. Look at the ways that he's hurt people in his life. Look at those awful thoughts he's had in his heart. Look at all the ways he's dishonored you, God. That man is a sinner who deserves death. You know what? He would be 100% right. All of that is true of me. Listen, there was a time when the devil held the power of death over me, but not now. Why? Because someone has died for me. Jesus has taken my place and my sin and my condemnation. And now the devil has no power over me. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus died to take the condemnation of death away from us. And by doing that, he destroyed the power that the devil has over us. Notice second, he also delivers us. The death of Jesus delivers us. Well, from what? Verse 15, from a lifelong slavery. A lifelong slavery to what? Well, look at what he says there in verse 15. The fear of death. Lifelong slavery to the fear of death. You see, it doesn't matter how much we might ignore it. The truth is that we are all going to die. Unless Jesus comes back sometime soon, every person in this room will die. And there's only one way to be freed from the fear of death. And it's by trusting in the one who has already died in our place. And by trusting in his death that delivers us from the fear of death. You know, our culture has a lot of wrong ideas about death. Just go to your average funeral and you're going to hear a lot of wrong things about death. You know, well, we know Granny's in a better place, or Timmy's up in heaven looking down on us. I know it. Or Daddy's finally up in heaven getting his wings. Listen, God's word is pretty clear. There's only one way that we can have hope in the face of death. There's only one way to be truly delivered from the fear of death. And it's not just dying. The Bible doesn't teach salvation by dying. Not everyone who dies goes to heaven. We don't just get to go to the good place because we died. There's only one way to be truly set free from the fear of condemnation and death. And it's by trusting and trusting alone in the death of Jesus Christ. He alone is the only confidence that we can have in the fear of death. Maybe you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus and you're just kind of crossing your fingers hoping that when you die you'll get to go to heaven. Friends, we have all sinned against the holy God. We all deserve eternal punishment for our rebellion, and our only hope is Jesus. You stand rightly accused before the devil. He can accuse every single one of you of all of those things too, and he's right. You stand rightly condemned before God. But if you would repent of your sins and believe in Jesus, you can be saved. If you would believe that he died for you and for your sins, you can be delivered from the power of death. And you can have hope that you'll be with Jesus forever. If you've never done that, would you do that today? Would you repent of your sins and believe in Jesus Christ today? He can forgive you and deliver you from the condemnation that you rightly deserve. You see, Christ is our only hope in life and in death. I don't know if you know Tim Keller or not. He was a pastor in New York City for decades. He's a gifted preacher. Probably an even better writer. In March of 2020, he published a book called On Death. He had spent decades of his ministry trying to help Christians in his church deal with their own death or deal with the death of people they loved. And so he wrote a book about it. It's called On Death. 3 months after it was published, he was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That's not the kind of cancer that you beat. It's just not. He was given at most a couple of years to live. And so this pastor, Tim, he came face to face with his own death. And even though he was a pastor, he really struggled with it. He said on multiple occasions he was really unprepared for his own death. He spent his whole ministry trying to prepare other people, but he himself felt unprepared. He was only 70, pretty good health. He was expecting to deal with that a lot later in life. And so in an interview where he talked about his death, he was talking about how he believes that we all just really live in deep denial about our own death. We might know it's coming, but yeah, it's probably way, way, way off, right? But listen, in his own struggles with death, Tim found hope in the gospel that he had believed and that he had preached for most of his life. He found hope knowing that Jesus stood face to face with his own death too. Tim said this in an interview. He said, Jesus Christ experienced suffering and death in degrees way beyond anything we're called to go through. God isn't putting humanity through something God never experienced. God isn't putting us through something that he himself hasn't gone through. Tim found comfort and hope and the courage knowing that Jesus had faced his own death first. And that was a confidence that Tim held on to until the very end. In May 19th of 2023, Tim went to be with Jesus. And so Tim is now face to face with the one who destroyed the power of death and has delivered us from the fear of death. I wonder, have you ever considered your own death? Maybe you're like Tim and you're like, that day is way off from now. Maybe you're in that kind of deep denial that he was talking about. Maybe you're like, man, this is depressing. Why are we talking about this? Beloved, Jesus became like us to deliver us from death. The hope of the gospel is not just wishful thinking. It's not just blind faith that, oh, hopefully things are going to work out in the end. They've got to, right? The confidence that we have in death is the confidence that Jesus has already been there. He's already stood face to face with his own death. And he came out victorious on the other side. He destroyed the power of the devil, took away that condemnation from us, and he delivers us from the fear of death. Because you see, for Christians, death is a glorious thing because we go to be with Jesus. And we can go into our own death with hope, knowing that Christ will raise us from the dead just as sure as he was raised on the third day. So brothers and sisters, when that day comes for you, and it is coming for you, put all your hope in the one who became like us so that he might die for us. Brothers and sisters, let's truly believe that Jesus died to deliver us from death. And let's cling to Jesus as our only hope in life and in death. He became like us to deliver us from death. Notice number two, he became like us to be our high priest. So our text moves on to give us another reason why Jesus became like us. Listen to verse 16. For surely it's not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. The pastor is reminding us here of angels again, and this time he wants us to realize that Jesus came not to help those angels, but to help us. He says the children of Abraham. Who's he talking about? Well, He doesn't mean the physical descendants of Abraham. He means those with faith like Abraham. Paul in Galatians 3:7 would say it's those with faith in the promises of the Messiah are those who are the true children of Abraham. That's what he's talking about here. Those who would come to believe in him, those are the ones that Jesus came to help. And here's how he's helping them. Look at verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He says Jesus had to be made like us in every single way. Well, why? So he could be our high priest. What is a priest? Well, the Old Testament is filled with all kinds of priests. These were men who were set apart for the service of God, and they were to represent the people of Israel to God. So they prayed for God's people. They received offerings from the people. They made sacrifices for God's people. But every generation had one high priest, one man who would serve as the greatest of all the priests. And his most important work would be to atone for the sins of the people. That last phrase in verse 14, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. I think, what in the world is that? What does that mean? Propitiation, this is the work of the high priest. It means you make an offering to God for the forgiveness of sins. It takes away God's wrath and anger towards our sin, and it provides a way for forgiveness. So on the Day of Atonement, one day a year, the high priest would take this blood of bulls and goats that they had sacrificed, and he would go into the temple. And he would go to the innermost room called the Holy of Holies. It was a room that only he could go, and he could only go in there once a year. And so the high priest would go into this room with the blood of the sacrifice, and he would atone for the sins of the people. That's the work of the high priest. Hebrews 2 is telling us we have a better high priest. Jesus made an offering for sins, not with the blood of bulls and goats, but with his own blood. And he didn't go to a room in a temple. Instead, he went into the very presence of our holy God in heaven. And he paid for our sins for his blood, with his blood once and for all. There's going to be a whole lot more about this in the book of Hebrews. But notice the point that he's making here in our verse. Do you see the beauty of what he's saying here? If Jesus didn't become like us, he can't be our high priest. And if he can't be our high priest, he can't pay for our sins. But Jesus did become like us. And he is our high priest, and he has paid for our sins. Listen, if Jesus doesn't become like us in every way, there is no salvation. None. God had to become human so that he could become our high priest. And praise the Lord that in Jesus, that is exactly what God did. Notice in verse 17 that Jesus is described as our high priest in two ways, two words there. Notice first, he is a merciful high priest. What is mercy? Mercy is an act of compassion or kindness towards someone who doesn't deserve it. And it's God's nature to be merciful. Psalm 145:8 that we read at the beginning of the service says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful." The Bible is full of story after story of God being merciful to those who don't deserve it. And it's no wonder then that when Jesus comes as our high priest, what's he like? Well, he's merciful. And here's why that matters for us. I don't know about you, but there are days when it's easy to believe that Jesus is going to run out of mercy for me. There's days when I struggle with my sin, and it's hard to believe that Jesus is still full of mercy. Like, is there enough mercy for me when I'm angry? Is there enough mercy when I'm being selfish? Is there enough mercy for me when I'm being prideful? There are days when I struggle with my faith, and it's hard to believe that Jesus is still full of mercy. Is there enough mercy for my worries? Enough mercy for my regrets? And is there enough mercy for my doubts? There's days when I feel like I'm sure that Jesus has run out of mercy. Or he's got to be really close. Maybe you feel that way too. Brothers and sisters, if Jesus was full of mercy for us, when he died for us, he will continue to be full of mercy for us. If he was full of mercy when we were at our worst, how will he not still be full of mercy towards us? Jesus knew every single one of our sins, and he still died for us. He knew every time that our faith would waver, and he still died for us. Jesus is our merciful high priest. Don't live on your feelings. Live on the truth of the gospel. Jesus is full of mercy for sinners, and his mercy will not run out. Notice also that he is a faithful high priest. He's merciful and faithful. Our text says he was faithful in the service of God. He came to the earth just like God sent him. He lived a full life of obedience to the Father. He was faithful to the Father's will, and he faithfully laid down his life on the cross. You can look at every moment in Jesus' life and see that he is faithful to the Father. But listen, that faithfulness is towards us as well. Remember, it's not the angels that he helps, but the children of faith. You see, Jesus' faithfulness is the solid ground upon which we stand. I mean, what if there was a day when Jesus just decided to give up on us? What if he's like, look, I've been high priesting these people for a really long time, and I just think I'm done. I'm ready to retire. Ready to move on to better things. I'm ready to be done with these people. I'm ready to quit. Let's just receive this beautiful truth today. Jesus cannot do that to us. Jesus will not do that to us. I'm sure you've had someone in your life who's let you down. Someone who disappointed you, someone who hurt you, someone who gave up on you, someone who quit you, someone who was unfaithful to you. Jesus will never do that. He'll never be that. He will always be our merciful and faithful high priest. Listen, we will spend every moment of the rest of our lives and the rest of eternity stepping into more and more of his faithfulness. His faithfulness endures forever. So brothers and sisters, let's cling to our merciful and faithful high priest. When we sin, let's cling to his mercy. When we waver in our faith, let's cling to his faithfulness. Christ was for us then, Christ is for us now, Christ will forever be for us. So brothers and sisters, let's truly believe that he became like us to be our high priest, our merciful and faithful high priest. He became like us to be our high priest. Notice lastly, number three, he became like us to help us. So our text gives us one more reason that Jesus became like us. Listen to verse 18. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The pastor wants us to think for a minute about the suffering and the temptation of Jesus. Really, you could say that Jesus' ministry began and ended with temptation. Before his public ministry, he was driven out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He faced three major tests. Do you remember those? Turn these stones into bread. Jump from the temple and make God send angels to catch you. Bow down to Satan and he'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. Really, you could say that all of these temptations are about a way to be exalted without suffering. The devil was essentially saying to Jesus, become the Son of God, the exalted King of earth, without suffering. And this was the same temptation that Jesus faced in the garden right before his death, wasn't it? Could Jesus become the King of heaven and earth without the cross? Would there be a way for him to be exalted and refuse the cup of God's wrath? But in both instances, Jesus passes the test. He didn't give in to the temptation. He resisted the devil, and he remained faithful to the Father. Faithful even in suffering and death. What did he say? Let this cup pass, but nevertheless, let your will be done. Now, you might be wondering, why does this matter? Jesus passed his test. Well, good for him. No, listen, this is good for us. God's word is saying his faithfulness to suffer when tempted is good for us. And you might say, well, yeah, I know it's good because he passed the test, so he went on the cross and he died for our sins. And that what we've already seen in our passage? Yes. But that's not the point of verse 18. Jesus suffered when he was tempted. And why does that matter for us? So he can help us when we are tempted. Notice this is the first time in the book of Hebrews that the present priestly work of Jesus is mentioned. Our passage doesn't just say he helped us then. Our passage says he is able to help us now. You see, so far in this letter, has been the focus on the completed priestly work of Jesus in the past. He made purifications for sins back in chapter 1, verse 4. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He tasted death. He, as we've seen in our passage, destroyed the devil. He made propitiations for our sins. All of those and even more are the wonderful celebrations of the finished work of Jesus on the cross and the resurrection and his ascension to heaven. We must never downplay the full and complete work of our high priest on the cross. But we must also never downplay the fact that our high priest is alive, and he doesn't just help us in the past, he helps us here now in the present. Listen, the risen Jesus is right now at this moment seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And what's he doing? Right now in this moment, he is ministering to us, his people. He's there right now, and he's able to help us when we face temptation. Notice verse 18. It says he's able to help those who are what? Being tempted. Tempted with what? Well, certainly we all face many temptations. We're tempted to sin with our words. We're tempted to sin with our thoughts. We're tempted to sin with our actions or with our desires. And listen, Jesus is there to help us with every temptation we face. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, that God will not allow us to be tempted beyond our ability. There is always a way of escape. know what that means? You don't have to sin. I know we do and we struggle with that, but we don't have to. There is a way to find help when we are tempted to sin. And that way is Jesus. Jesus is always the answer to any temptation we face. His love can help us say no to the temptation of lust. His generosity can help us say no to the temptation of greed. His patience can help us with the temptation to pride. Listen, this is such good news for us. Jesus understands what it is to be tempted. We can't say to Jesus, "Listen, Jesus, you just don't know what it's like. You just don't know how hard it is. You have no idea what this feels like." Beloved, Jesus knows. He became just like us, and he was tempted just as we are. He knows what it's like. He knows how hard it is. He knows every feeling of what it is to be tempted with sin. And he became one of us so that he could help us when we are tempted. Praise God for that. Praise the Lord. But you know what? We all face those temptations, but I think there is one greater temptation the pastor has in mind here. Remember, this letter is written to a group of Jewish Christians who are suffering for their faith in Jesus. And as they're suffering, there's this massive temptation in front of them to say, let's just give up on Jesus. Let's just go back to being Jews. Think life was a lot better without Jesus. They were facing the temptation to give up on Jesus. Maybe following Jesus isn't really worth it. Maybe we should just go back to our Jewish faith. Maybe life would just be better for us if we gave up on Jesus. And God's word is saying to them, listen, suffering is hard, yes. But Jesus knows what it is to suffer while being tempted, and he didn't give up on you. So don't give up on him. He can help you. God is saying to these Christians, Jesus is right there with you in your suffering, and he can help you when you face this temptation. He can help you stay faithful. He can help you not give up on him. He can help you stay in the faith. You know, we're really no different than this group of Jewish Christians. Really, their greatest temptation is our greatest temptation. Maybe we're not suffering the same persecution that they are, but we have the same temptation just to give up on Jesus. And maybe you're thinking, we would never do that. Our church would never do that. I would never do that. I doubt they ever thought that they would do that. I doubt they would ever thought that they would be in a position to think, well, maybe this Jesus guy isn't really worth it. But suffering is hard. Sin is seductive. Temptation is strong. And if we're not careful, we might give in to that temptation. We might believe the lie that Jesus isn't worth it. Following Jesus is just too hard. We might believe the lie that Jesus isn't better. Maybe there's something else in this world that's better than him. Beloved, Jesus is worth it. There's nothing better than him. And so where do we go when we face those deep temptations to give up on Jesus? Well, we draw near to the one who is able to help us. Jesus became like us to help us. Jesus is here saying to us from his word today, let me help you. Are you tempted? Let me help you. He's able to help those who are being tempted. He's able to keep us trusting that he is always
better. So Christ fellowship, let's keep trusting the one who keeps us trusting. Let's keep loving the one who keeps on loving us. Let's keep fighting for the one who has fought for us. Let's keep holding on to the one who's holding on to us. Jesus became like us to help us. To help us when we're weak. To help us when we're weary. To help us when we suffer. To help us when we sin. To help us when we struggle. He came to be like us so that he might help us when we're tempted. He's been there. He knows. And he's ready and able to help us. So let's never give up on him. Brothers and sisters, let's truly believe that he became like us to help us. And let's trust that he will always, always help us. You know, the end of the undercover boss episodes were always the best part of the show. The employees would be shocked to find out that their boss had been working there next to them all day long. Surprise, it's me, the CEO, you know, kind of a thing. Sometimes the boss would walk away with a better appreciation for, like, the grunt workers in their company. Sometimes they would fire people who were doing a terrible job. And occasionally the boss would reward someone who was working hard and being faithful to the company. Listen, Jesus didn't become one of us just because he wanted to see what it's like. He certainly didn't come down from heaven because he wants to fire us and get rid of us. Jesus loves us, and he came down to reward those who love him. You see, Jesus knows there's great reward in those who love and follow him. And so, brothers and sisters, no matter how hard this life gets, Jesus is always better, and in him there is always great reward. The reward of eternal life without the fear or condemnation of death. The reward of a faithful and merciful high priest who always lives to love us. The reward of fighting the temptation to give up on Jesus. There is great reward in knowing and loving Jesus Christ our Lord. So brothers and sisters, Jesus became like us because he loves us and because he is for us. So let's set all of our hope on our Savior who died and rose again. Let's cling to our merciful and faithful high priest who is ready and willing to help us. And let's never give up on the one who will never give up on us. Let's pray together. Father, we're so thankful for your word, God. What a great reminder that Jesus left the glories of heaven. Though he was in the form of God and could have had all of the rights and privileges and prerogatives of God, no, he became human. He lowered himself. And not only did he become human, but he became a servant to us. And not only did he come to serve us, but he came to serve us by dying for us in the worst way imaginable on the cross. So, Lord, what a beauty we have in our Savior who became like us to destroy the power of the devil who holds the power of death over us, to deliver us from the fear and condemnation of death. Lord, we praise you for Jesus. God, we thank you that he came to be our merciful and faithful high priest, Lord. For those here who are struggling to believe that Jesus is merciful or faithful, God, would you impress upon their hearts those truths today, God? Would you help them to rest in their merciful and faithful high priest, Lord? God, for those who don't know Jesus, would they come to him and receive the forgiveness of their sins once and for all? Would you, Lord, lead them to repentance and to believing in Jesus Christ so that they might be saved, God? And Lord, we're thankful for our high priest who is here, ready and willing to help us now. God, praise Jesus for what he did in the past, Lord, but Lord, he is with us. He is for us now. And he's ready to help us, God. Would you help us to draw near to him when we face temptations to sin? Would you help us to cling to him in that day when we are tempted to just give up on Jesus altogether, Lord? Would you help us to draw near to the one who can help us when we are tempted? Lord, we praise you for our Savior. We thank you for Jesus, who knows what it is to suffer, who knows what it is to be tempted, who knows pain and sorrow, who knows what it is to die. And Lord, we praise you that he is risen, that in the third day he rose in victory, ascended to heaven, and he is there now loving us as our high priest. Lord, we praise you for Jesus. May we be a people who trust in him, who rest in him, who cling to him, who draw near to him day after day after day to find help that we need. Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We pray these things in his name. Amen.